I played that one just for Andy. I know it was the Dolphins scoring a touchdown, but it was the fullback scoring a touchdown. And you know that set his toes a tapping when you saw that.
You're damn right.
That was they probably got a little hot in the room there.
All right, we don't need to go down that road.
Opening windows.
Clean it up.
Whoa, look at that. Look at that Alec Ingold getting in there. That was in the third quarter. No, that was the fourth quarter. As, unfortunately, the Patriots unable to hold off. They had a lead in the second half. They were up 10-3 at halftime. Or, sorry, not at halftime. They were 7-3 at halftime and then kicked a field goal in the first drive in the second half to make it 10-3. Miami comes back 10-6 with their own field goal. Patriots go 3-and-out. Dolphins have another field goal drive as they start to put some offense together. They still couldn't get in the end zone. And then the Patriots had an interesting drive. It was a 7-play, 38-yard drive, which started with some runs, and they'd been running the ball well all day. And then that's when the passing started, this weird idea that we got to keep, you know, throwing, even though they had a lead in the second half. You saw Gibson get a big run for 24 yards. Stevenson with a 2-yard run to make it 2nd-and-8, and then it's Brissett incomplete to Polk. Brissett incomplete to Polk again. Delay of game on 4th-and-8, and then Behringer goes and punts it. Completely lets the air out of the entire drive after a big long run there from Gibson. One of the bigger runs of the day. Not quite as long as the touchdown run, but I think it was the second longest run of the day, and part of why they had such a great average. And then they just went away from it for 2 straight plays. And even though it's only 2 plays out of an entire game, I think that was, to me, indicative of the game plan, sort of Alex Van Pelt and the play calling, and just, I don't know, a disconnect between what's working and what they're doing. Like, you see what's working in this game. You see what's connecting. You see how you're picking up yards, how you're getting in the end zone, all of that stuff, and you go away from it, you know, and go to something that hasn't been working for you all year.
And go away from your planned identity.
Right.
It'd be one thing if you went away from passing. Say you were passing well, and you're like, we're going to go back to running because we don't really think this passing thing is sustainable. It's not who we are. It's not what we're built for. The thing you wanted to be was a running team.
Not just wanted to be.
Right.
Told everyone that.
Absolutely.
You're going to be.
Yeah. And you're doing it, and then you're like, yeah, you know what? We're going to change it up. This is like you go
Let's
to a
concert. Keep them on their toes.
Yeah, you go to a concert, and they don't sing any of the hits, and you're like,
right.
The hell's this crap?
It's from our new album.
Nope. We don't want to hear your new album. We want you to play the hits. I came to see the hits, and the hits for them is the running game. Mm-hmm. It's Stevenson. It's even Gibson now. He's now consistently added something to the running game. So it's not like, oh, somebody's banged up or worn down. We can't do it. Oh, you also have your line back. You have your line in a way that benefits Mike Onwenu moving into guard, where everybody agrees he's better. He's better suited. It was set up perfectly for you to run the clock out on a victory in the second half of this game. In multiple drives, multiple different drives were set up perfectly for you to take them to the hill, right? Take them to the hill.
Right.
Run it down their throats.
You just picked up a first down. You're right at midfield, basically, is where they started after that big run. It took them out to, like, the 45 or the 46, and that's where you are, and that's where you're starting from. That's when you run the ball.
And then we decided this is a day we're going to get Jacoby Brissett 34 passing attempts.
And then the ensuing drive, they go down, push it down your throat, and there's a touchdown, there's the game.
They took you to the hill. They imposed their will on you. By the way, who are they?
The Dolphins?
Yeah, but no. But who are they? Don't they have 2 of the top 10 receivers in the National Football League?
Yes.
Small, fast. Like,
they have 2 good running backs, too.
No, they do, but they are supposed to be a receiver-heavy team, and yet they drove it down your throats.
Right.
You're supposed to be a run-heavy team, and you were showing the ability to maybe drive it down their throats, and you decided to get away from it. Now, I also wonder, is Alex Van Pelt suddenly like questioning himself? Is he suddenly hearing the noise? Well, I got to mix it up, or everybody's going to say this isn't sustainable, and we can't always run, and you got to be more creative, and you got to throw, and you got to do this, you got to get the receivers involved, blah, 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 blah. No. Be who you are.
Yeah.
You're an offensive line that has its issues. Let them run block.
Mm-hmm.
It's all offensive linemen always want to run block. All of them. They always want to run block. They want to fire out and move people. They'd much rather do that than try to keep athletes from getting to their quarterback, who isn't the most mobile guy on the planet. You were having success with it. You overthought it.
Yeah.
Keep it simple, stupid. Keep it simple, stupid. The Patriots win this game. Not only on that drive, but then the next drive when you got in scoring range.
Yep.
And you had a minute and change, whatever, 3 timeouts. It was textbook run the ball and the game is over. It almost reminded me, remember when Brady in the Super Bowl, when Belichick was having the debate as to whether to kick a field goal against the Rams, and he's like, kick the field goal and the game's over.
Kick it right
he
now,
like
yeah.
almost yelled at him, like, kick the field goal and the game's over.
Idiot.
This felt like a run the ball and the game's probably over.
Yeah.
Instead, it's like pass, 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 pass. It made no sense, and
It's like Colorado at the end of the game when Shador wants to get some yards for his friend or something. He's just hucking up passes.
Yeah, but at least
like,
he's a chucker. Like, true, he can chuck bombs. He can throw. And he has athletes on the other end.
Right.
So we can pad our stats a little bit. You don't
have any of that.
You don't throw the ball well. You don't catch the ball well. You don't get open all that well. You run the ball. If there's one thing we think you might be able to do relatively successfully and consistently, it's run the ball.
Yeah.
And you're like, nah. I don't feel like it today.
And
let's throw it.
As far as the defense is concerned, and again, they were very much understaffed here in this defense. On that drive and the ensuing touchdown drive that ended with the Ingold scamper there, they had 3rd and 13 after, I think it was a holding penalty on Miami. And that's when the Christian Ellis penalty happened. And that was crippling. I mean, that you had him. You had him 3rd and about as long as you want. And I don't know. I mean, Snoop Huntley's probably not hitting the 13-yard pass there. And instead, he goes right over the middle to, I think it was Mostert. And they were yelling at Ellis. They're like, get over there. It's your guy.
Well, he was
there. He's right there in the slot. And he's running across the field. He gets there, and after 4 yards, he just mauls
tackled
the guy. And that's the pass interference, and that was it. Which, again, Ellis probably shouldn't have been out there. You know, he's out there because of injuries, and you don't have your starters, and you're sort of scrambling on defense. But that's just part of it. I mean, it's 3rd and 13. You're not lined up right, and one of your guys out there who wasn't ready to go ends up, committing a crippling penalty that ended up extending that drive, and they ultimately scored and beat you.
And what have we heard for a couple weeks was an issue? Communication.
Yeah.
That's a communication breakdown.
100%.
Right,
yeah.
Like that's, it's a mental mistake. I guess the communication actually kind of worked because they realized it and told the dummy.
At the last second, get over there. But, like, right, he should have been there to begin with.
Right,
yeah.
He should have been on the other side. He was on the opposite side where he was supposed to be. And, again, they've harped on communication for multiple weeks now. All of these things go back to coaching. They go back to error repeaters.
Yep.
And I don't know whether Gerard Mayo has become the error repeater. It looks like it. The clock management at the end of the first
half. That's not getting any better.
And he admitted it.
Yeah.
What did he say? He said it was a carbon copy or something like that. He admitted it was the exact same situation. Well, that's your team, and whether you're the HC of the offense or not, that's under your watch,
right?
Like, you have to supersede, remind, whatever. And I understand he's not calling the offensive plays. He did try to clarify today. Again, I'll go back to this. I do not remember when he took back calling Alex Van Pelt the head coach of the offense. He said it multiple times this summer. Mm-hmm. He claims he clarified it and took it back. I don't recall the clarification. He did it certainly today with the Greg Hill show, I believe, not in the press conference, the Greg Hill show.
Right.
And he said, well, I really spend most of, half my time with the offense and half my time with... Okay, now I have more reason to blame you then. Because if you're spending half your time with the offense...
I'd distance myself from that.
I would absolutely... That's the HC of the offense. Ask him. But if you're really there half the time, then all these mistakes that are happening again and again and again are on your watch. And even if you weren't, even when Josh McDaniels had close to autonomy on offense during play calling and during games, he would say... Bill would chime in with, let's run the ball here. Let's set a certain tone. You whatever run plays you want to call, you call, and you figure it out play calling wise. That's where Gerard needs to, let's not have the Seattle thing happen again here. Let's make sure we don't bungle. Like, say something, do something. Evan Rothstein, you chime in to Gerard's ear and then pass it down operator style so that he gets the message. So it's really, that's as problematic or more so than Jacoby Brissett, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Like, because Jacoby Brissett is who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and they're also choosing to play him. So, I mean, that's
another
coaching
it.
Decision.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, but, like, you're a coach. You have time to figure it out, to get better, to learn. And you and Alex Van Pelt and the coaching staff are error repeaters. That's why I think, personally, the Ben McAdoo questions are quite fair. Because the execution offensively, play calling offensively, has been horrific at times. And that is before... You get to the offensive line. That's before you get to Jacoby Brissett and what's actually happening on the field. I'm talking about the 40 seconds leading up to the play.
Right.
That has been really bad.
Yeah, it has. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got some open phone lines if you'd like to jump on and join the conversation as we react to a truly putrid game right here at Gillette Stadium yesterday. Let's go to John in the car, who has a thought on the coaching staff. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, supposedly Brissett was brought in because he knew AVP's offense.
Right.
I don't think AVP knows what his own offense is. So I think you guys have talked about the play calling questions, like leading, going down the drive and then like run, 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 and then it's passes all over the place. The thing that I found even more confounding was when they went down there and they finally passed it at the end, like fourth down, and where is Pop Douglas? Like nowhere to be found, and he's not anywhere on the field. Like, what is that play calling? when you finally then, like, at the very end, you have another chance for it again. This is another Gerard Mayo, like, I don't know if he's just, like, making up words and using words and hopefully nobody pays attention, but how is it an execution problem when finally, like you've been throwing to the boundary all game. That's all you do is throw to the boundary. Finally, Brissett finds somebody that's open who happens to be over the middle of the field. Maybe we should try that during the game.
No. Only with 7 seconds left and no timeouts. I think it's really the optimal time to do it.
Now it's an execution problem. That's what he says. No, it's a play calling issue that you can't ever call plays that work anytime, whatever. So now the guy finally sees somebody open and he throws it to him. Like, that's not execution. You have a terrible offensive coordinator. Get rid of him from play calling and at least let McAdoo try it for once, like for the rest of the season, because I'm done with ABP and this and his stupidity and this like tense option as the OC. Like, done. He needs to go.
All right, thanks for the call, John. Not a lot of confidence, I'd say, in Alex Van Pelt today. I don't think there's been any real confidence in him this entire time, aside from the fact that, well, he's a QB whisperer, and he's going to be good to bring Drake May along. He's going to be good to coach him up. That's all sort of yet to be seen, I guess, and that's really, in some ways, all Van Pelt has left here. I mean, we're not watching a functioning offense right now.
That's the most
important
part.
This is not something that he can point to and say, hey, you know, even if it doesn't work out with May, look at this great offense I built. Like, no way.
No, that's the most important part of his job, is whatever happens with Drake May. We can believe Burt Breer and the comments that there's been good growth of Drake May behind the scenes, and this week it was dealing with the blitz in practice, and he's trending towards being the best quarterback on the roster, even though I thought he was the best quarterback in August, according to his head coach, so I don't know what's happened since August and now into October. But, you know, it's funny, that just made me think, the execution of the offense, you ever heard that famous Rich McKay?
Oh, I'm in favor of it? Yeah.
I'm all for it or whatever. Yeah. That's what it made me kind of think. What do you think the execution of the Patriots offense? I'm all for it.
Go
because,
for it, yeah.
And I know we make light of it, but it just...
Of executing the offense?
Well, the end of that game, I don't care where you are. If you are coaching an 8U Pop Warner team, or you're coaching a high school JV varsity team, a Division III, if you make that play in that situation...
The throw to Henry.
Hunter Henry.
Yeah.
Everyone is pissed at the quarterback, the coach, everybody involved. Because you can't do it. It's unacceptable. It's... That, you know, you don't need to be an NFL QB whisperer. You don't need to be a 10-year veteran quarterback to know you can't do that. That is something that can't be done in that situation.
Should Henry have batted it down? They would have had another play, right?
Would the, yeah,
yeah,
probably.
So maybe a little bit on Henry there, too.
That's tough to do, though.
Yeah.
That's tough to do.
It's tough to – I mean, he was able to catch it. I'm being a little unfair right now.
I agree.
You know, I mean, like, that's, he sees the ball coming. What's he going to do?
But, yes, they would be better off with another attempt.
They would have been better off if you
this time throw it to the end zone, because now you wouldn't even have the ability to throw it to the sideline. Now you'd flat out have to throw it to the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was like Rodgers in the pack in the Vikings-Jets game. There was a batted pass that he went to grab, and then he realized it would be dumb for me to grab this and just let it drop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you were being really cerebral, He probably would have been better off batting that ball down and having a couple seconds to throw the ball into the air. But you shouldn't be in that position.
No.
Don't put that on him.
Don't throw it to him in the first place. Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Like in that spot.
And they said it in the broadcast. They're like, they baited him into this throw. And the Dolphins did kind of bait him into the throw. Like, they just sort of backed off him a little bit and let him just sort of
they
throw his hands up.
They want you to throw it there because it
Douglas
ends the game.
Douglas is in front of him, cutting across
and
the field.
And he may get tackled too. Who knows? But he's got a better chance at run after the catch.
He's faster than Hunter Henry, that's for sure. And he's sprinting towards the sideline.
I have no problem throwing to Henry if he's at the goal line, if he's in the end zone, because I do think
he's moving towards the sideline.
He's one of your better pass catchers.
Yeah.
I do think he's one of your more reliable options. But where he was on the field, it virtually guaranteed the game was going to end.
Yep. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls. And there were some silver linings in this game, I think. Not a lot of them. There was like maybe one or two. And we'll get to that. We'll get to who the GOAT of this game was, and we'll look around the NFL. Pretty interesting week all around the league with rookie quarterbacks and other notable things that we'll get to right after Stiz tells you what's trending. Christian Gonzalez with an interception in this game, leading to the lone Patriots touchdown. A good game for Gonzalez. He's emerging as a star corner in this league, I would say. I don't think there's going to be a lot of hardware being handed out to anybody, but Gonzalez, I could see maybe being a Pro Bowler this year. I think that's not out of the question.
Probably.
You know, like, he's out of anybody on the team, I think he's probably the only one that has that possibility even this season. Maybe if Keon White cleans it up a little bit, he could be there too, but I think that his stock's starting to drop a little bit, and I think that Gonzalez has been pretty strong and, you know, pretty stagnant the entire time. So with silver linings in this game, I think the Gonzalez interception was one. I think the blocked punt was another one. I don't really know that there was too much else that you can really look at and feel good about. In some ways, I think Polk going up and getting that ball was a nice thing to see. It was a nice athletic play. He didn't land in bounds, and, you know, he probably shouldn't have had to jump that high, but he did, and he got his hands on it. That's, I mean, listen, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel here, but there's
Ramondre.
Not really much else. And Ramondre Stevenson had a
33-yard touchdown, didn't fumble. What do you have for final yardage?
I think the fact that they went away from the run game so much, though, makes it hard to look at that as a real positive
12
thing.
12
you know?
For 89. He averaged 7.4 yards per carry. He didn't fumble. Absolutely, Ramondre Stevenson's on the list. You want to
right, Stevenson too. I'll put him there.
You want to go double or nothing on our the six pack you owe me of Miller Lite?
That he's not going to fumble again next week?
No, that Drake May starts on Sunday.
No, because I want that to happen. I don't want to bet against my own interest. I don't want to do that. I want him to. So then, if I lose, I don't feel like I won. You know, like I'd be like, well, Brissett's starting. Or if I win, I'll feel like I lost because Brissett's going to be starting. You know what I meant?
Okay.
But yeah, that's it. Who was the GOAT of this game? Who would you give the goat horns to?
The goat horns I would give to Alex Van Pelt or whoever. I mean, whoever's deciding
Van
how
Pelt,
they're going to
Mayo,
approach things.
I don't think
things.
Mayo is.
Yeah.
I mean,
but Van Pelt, I'm going to go back because I do not recall the rescinding of the head coach of the offense by
right.
Gerard Mayo. So I'm going to just assume Alex Van Pelt's the head coach of the offense. And the end of the half, he did it the exact same way against Seattle. Terrible. And then most importantly, the end of the game. I think he lost them the game. Mm. And so you say the GOAT, the true GOAT, and we're going with, you know, the obvious negative connotation of GOAT here. Not the greatest of all time because he's not the best offensive coordinator the Patriots have had in the last 2 years. They've been pretty bad the last 2 years.
They've been worse. This is unbelievable to say, but since the Patricia year, they've gotten so much worse.
Yeah.
Like you didn't think it could get worse than that. You didn't think there was any way that they could put an offense together or lead an offense with any quarterback that was going to look the way that Matt Patricia, Mac Jones thing worked, because it was so dysfunctional. It was such a point of contention. They went from a playoff team to what they are to now what they are now, which is even worse. And it just seemed like this is such a bad idea. This is such a bad decision by Belichick. You know, this is as bad as it gets for an offense. And it's gotten so much worse with Bill O'Brien and now with Alex Van Pelt that I'm almost pining for those days.
And I was chastised by so many people in media, fans, everybody. We know the offense is going to be better this year.
Right.
And I said, why? And they said, well, the quarterback play will be better. And
two straight years we said that very declaratively.
And it can't be any worse was sort of the argument.
Right.
It is.
We said that with O'Brien, right? O'Brien can't be worse than Patricia, and he was.
And I think people were assuming because Jacoby Brissett was unlikely to throw some of the really bad interceptions that Mac threw,
mm-hmm.
that it was just going to be better. But I feel like in avoiding any chance of interceptions, he's avoiding any chance of having a productive passing attack. He's not taking any chances in the passing game, and the offense is worse. The scoring is worse. Everything about this attack is worse, even though they've had, in multiple games, a good rushing attack.
Yeah.
Week one, good rushing attack. Week two, right? Good rushing attack. This week, good rushing attack. And they haven't been able to turn it into anything, even though they told us that was going to be the foundation of their offense. And that's why I would get back to answer your question, Alex Van Pelt, because the ground game was working. You were in a one-score game. You were in scoring position with the game on the line.
Yeah.
And for some reason, you forgot who you are or chose to get away from who you are, chose to get too cute. I don't even know what transpired there. I don't even know how they ended up where they ended up, but it ended up with a loss, and that's on the guy calling the plays, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. That was our attempt at the silver lining for the game, I guess. As
did we miss
we
any?
Get. I don't think so. I don't think
can
don't
we look know. A little harder? Brendan Schooler.
Schooler. Like, okay, Schooler's one.
The blocked punt. He continues to be a Pro Bowl or All-Pro caliber.
Yeah, there's another Pro Bowl.
Special teamer.
Okay.
The
Gonzalez
running
game. I mean, we said the blocked punt. I did say the blocked punt. I didn't say Schooler specifically, but I mean, he's the one who did it.
Behringer's still good, right? He did have a touchback, but it was because he kicked it too far, wasn't it?
Yeah, I wasn't, I don't know. I don't remember being blown away by the punting game, but
yeah, you're probably right.
It was,
I'm stretching. I'm trying.
It's the best we can do here. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phones. What do you say? Brandon is in North Carolina with a thought on quarterbacks. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, guys. Then I have a statement if I have time. But with the quarterbacks, okay, you watch Saturday, Tennessee's quarterback runs out of bounds, doesn't even give it a chance in the end zone. What do you think is going on in all these quarterbacks' minds when they're behind the center and they're looking right up at how much time's left, not sitting there thinking, this ball has to go in the end zone or be a catchable ball falling out of bounds? Like, why is that? Forget the play calling, just the mindset of a quarterback looking at the clock, knowing what needs to happen.
You talking about Tennessee Titans or the Tennessee College?
College.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I don't think the Titans played this week. All right. Sorry, go on.
That quarterback ran out, didn't even throw it. I watched Kobe yesterday. It's like, what?
Well, I agree with your question, but I do think it's a difficult position. There's a lot going on, and I think sometimes, quite honestly, they have brain farts. And a brain fart is more understandable as a quarterback in the midst of the game than it is the coach.
Right.
That's the one who has the time and is setting up plays, right? One after another in a series, and he's thinking two plays ahead, and he has the opportunity until 15 seconds is left. And if Tom Brady can write something as stupidly simplistic as find Ed Reed every play on his wristband, then a coach can say, hey, Jacoby, I'm sure you know this, but we can't throw it in the middle of the field short of the end zone. This either has to be in the end zone or on the sideline, right? Like, don't assume. Don't ever assume your player knows exactly what to do. And maybe there's an assumption there, but isn't that the coach's job? Like, there's a reason when teams start, they start with the huddle. Here's where you line up in the huddle. Just every year, assume your players don't know everything. Assume they're first-time football players, first time in your system. Coach them more, not less. And, yeah, I don't know. We'll talk to Jacoby Brissett hopefully soon and just ask him kind of what went wrong there. And he may just say flat out, that's on me.
Yep.
I screwed up. It may be as simple as that. Just like Hunter Henry. When he false started on the previous drive, he immediately just like, that's on me.
Yep.
And once you do that, right, there's not really much he can say. He knows he screwed up. He's not going to make an excuse like, oh, I was looking at this or I was thinking of that. No. If you say I just flat out made a mistake, we all make them. Now you can't make it again because you cost your team a game.
Right. And, it was – I mean, there was other things that went into it. But, yeah, that definitely was a very costly play at the end there. Looking around the NFL this week, anything stand out to you? I think, in particular, the Commanders, that was a big win over a Browns team that I think needed a win and just got completely outclassed from the first half on. I think the Jaguars picked up a big win. Texans beating Buffalo, I thought was significant. There was the Broncos with a big win over the Raiders. The Cardinals beating the 49ers. A lot of upsets this week.
Yeah, well, the league, there were, what did I see, 8 or 9 one-score games.
Yeah.
There's a lot of competition. I still think we're in that figuring out who teams are. Teams are figuring out who they are themselves. If we want to harp on the game management, the clock management, the Bills bungled that.
Brutal, yeah.
Absolutely gave away that game.
Mm-hmm.
That was a classic.
And also, I'm sorry, but Josh Allen got knocked out in that game.
Oh, absolutely.
And they put him right back
100%.
In there.
100%. That's a side issue talking about concussions and player safety
right.
and that facade, like when they care about player safety, when they don't, when they actually clamp down on it. But that win for
Houston,
it was Patriots-like. That's something dumb that a team would do against the Patriots over the years.
Yeah.
And then Wes Welker or Troy Brown or Julian Edelman would have that little quick punt return. I think it was Woods. He's like, I just got to get upfield because if I get upfield, we're basically going to be in field goal range.
Yeah.
And that was just ineptitude by the Bills right there. You have the best player, and that's not on Josh Allen. He could be concussed, whatever. That's not his decision-making. That's Joe Brady. But more importantly, I'm going to say just like I said for Gerard Mayo, you have a defensive head coach in Buffalo, Sean McDermott.
Yep.
You're the head coach. You have to inject yourself there into the decision-making. That is not left up to the offensive coordinator. You need to manage the game properly. And that's what I mean. There are so many coaches situationally right now.
There were 30 seconds left in that game.
Unbelievable.
Like, that's
unbelievable.
Crazy. That's really
the way
crazy.
They bungled that away. And then the flip.
I know you don't like playing for overtime. Like, you'd rather be aggressive or whatever, but like.
Well, no, play for overtime. I'm playing
case,
to win the game.
There's 30 seconds left. You're way back there. You've got to play for overtime.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're on your 3-yard line.
You're on your 3-yard line. I know you have Josh Allen, and we've
crazy.
Seen Josh Allen do crazy things, but they are not as loaded.
And by the way, he had led a great comeback up until that point.
Yeah.
They were down, like, what, 17 points? And
yeah.
he just led this crazy comeback. But then they gave it right back.
Which is another reason for me, go to overtime. You're playing well offensively, unless they didn't trust him. Maybe they think he's going to get, you know, fall on his face on the sideline between overtime and the regular period, whatever. But then that Bengals game, that was a fun game that I wish I obviously saw all the highlights.
The end of that game
watched.
Was about as insane of a sequence as I've ever seen with the fumble and then the missed field goal. Like, that was crazy.
And
that was a crazy
how about
end.
The touchdown that Lamar threw? Who did he stiff arm to the ground? Was it Hubbard, maybe, their pass rusher, where he's rolling out, and he just kind of stiff arms him to the ground and then throws the ball up? Like, the talent on display, the run for Derrick Henry, situationally, like,
are you
the
talking about where
power?
He fumbled, recovered it, and then threw the pass?
Yes.
Yeah. That was awesome. that was an awesome play.
There's a lot of talent. Like, that's what I'm saying. I watch all these other games, and there's highlights, and there's plays, and there's guys breaking tackles and going seven. Again, we never get any of that. Nothing.
Yeah, we don't.
It's kind of sad.
It's a
doggone
shame.
From a league-wide perspective, the league is wide open.
Yeah.
Because I still don't trust Sam Darnold. Do I think Sam Darnold is going to go?
No,
like,
but I trust Patrick Mahomes, and they're 4-0. So
yeah, but I also don't think they're as good. I do think Kelce is a shell of what he once was, and that's part of it.
Yep.
I think there's opportunities for teams that get hot this year. I don't think there's a clear 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, I was looking at the Bengals' schedule. The Bengals are going to have a chance to get back in this. Mm-hmm. The Bengals are absolutely going to have a chance to get back in this. And with that passing attack, and with Joe Burrow, you're going to have a chance to win games in December and January to control your season. You've dug a terrible hole.
Yep.
You shouldn't be where you are. But, you know, he declared they're not a championship-caliber team. Absolutely. You're right. You're also not a 1-4 football team.
No.
You're not the Patriots. So there's some in-between. But, no, there is still a lot of deciding to be done, at least in my mind. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I have a great feel for, like, oh, I'm going to pick this team this week because they're always like, I can trust them.
Right.
There's a lot of teams that I'm not ready to anoint anything.
Fair enough. There was one game that I was very right about and one game that I could not have been more wrong about this weekend. The game I was right about, Cardinals-Niners. I nailed that one. And the game I could not have been more wrong about was Giants-Seahawks. That was my lock on Sunday. So we do the football Sunday show, and at the end we do pop, lock, and drop. I don't think I've gotten a single lock right all season. But my lock this week, which I was so sure of, was that the Seahawks at home were going to put a whooping on the Giants without Neighbors, because he's out with a concussion. I thought this was going to be one of the easiest layups in the history of the world. It was a big spread. It was 7 points, but I thought, no problem. The Giants are like the Patriots, right? Like, they're going to struggle. They're on the road. It's not going to go well. And instead, they come away with a brilliant second half. Really, from the second quarter on, they were scoring points, the long drives, and the Seahawks just were overwhelmed and ended up losing by 2 scores, which I was shocked by. I really was. I definitely thought that was a layup of a call, and I got that one about as wrong as I've gotten any call all year. And I've gotten lots of calls wrong this year, I'd say.
The 49ers one was wronger.
49ers-Patriots, yes.
Yeah.
That one was
wronger. That was your wrongest.
That's true. Although I wasn't quite as gung-ho about it, I guess. You know, like, I acknowledged as I was making that call that it was a bit of a Hail Mary. This one, the Seahawks-Giants thing, I was like 10 toes, you know, like, that was about as confident in a call as I've ever been. I wasn't super confident about my Patriots-Niners call, and ended up proving me right there. But yeah, it was a tough weekend. I mean, it was a lot of upsets. I thought that the Jaguars getting their first win was significant for them. If they had fallen to 0-5, all of a sudden that guy's probably out. You know, they're probably talking about, you know, redoing their entire thing there around Trevor Lawrence, who you have to pay. You know, you paid him already, so you got to work a roster around him somehow. But yeah, it was an interesting week, all in all, I'd say. I even liked that Cowboys-Steelers game. I thought was pretty entertaining.
I didn't watch 1 minute because once it got delayed,
the 2-hour delay. Yeah,
and I was like, yeah, this is way past my bedtime.
Well, my 2-year-old son was keeping us up all night for some reason. I'm not sure. He's having nightmares. I don't know exactly what it was. So I was relieved. I was relieved that game got delayed. I got to watch the whole thing. In between, you know, bouts of going into the room and trying to put the kid down.
Did you let your son watch the Patriots game?
I did not. I would not subject him to such.
That's why he would have nightmares. That was my theory that I was going with there. Do you think we've exited the early season crappy football phase? Are we turning the corner towards, like, mid-season form, and we can stop talking about, oh, nobody plays in the preseason, so obviously they need time to. Because it seems like there's a lot more plays being made. There's big numbers. It started the other night.
I'd say yes, but that Jets-Vikings game, did you see how ugly that was? They were like, there was one sequence where it went interception, and then it was a fumble on a pitch, and then it was in pick six.
Yep.
And then it was like another thing. Like, it was just the sloppiest thing back and forth. International game, so maybe that has something to do with it. But I remember watching that game and being like, man, it's still thinking the same thoughts from the first month about how ugly it is.
That's the Jets.
Jets and the Vikings. I mean, the Vikings were messing up, too. They didn't play a great game. But I think in general after that, you know, like the Panthers had a bad game. The Browns played a bad game. But
some
in
of
general,
those teams
I
are
think
just bad.
Things are getting better. I'd say they're turning up.
Like,
yes.
You know, Kirk Cousins started it with whatever 500 yards the other night. Like that was a shootout type game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bills yesterday, the Texans, the Bengals, the Ravens. Who knows what we'll see tonight? These are two teams that certainly have the potential to maybe make some plays offensively and look like competent football. I'm not saying everybody. I'm not holding the Patriots to a certain standard. I'm not holding the Panthers because the reality is, remember all that excitement that, oh, when you get a quarterback like Andy Dalton in there, the tide lifts for everybody, and that seems to have passed. I even noticed. I didn't see much of
the
that
tide's
game.
Tide's back out.
Bryce Young played in that game.
Yeah, he did.
In the end of that game. So sometimes bad teams are just bad teams, and they're going to play bad football for 3.5-4 months. It's not anything about the calendar.
Yeah, true. Fair enough. All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number if you'd like to join the conversation here. We're talking Patriots on a Patriots Monday. However, we are going to take a quick Patriots break in the event that we don't have a player walk through the door. We're going to touch on Jeremy Swayman. That thing finally settled over the weekend. Sunday morning, the Bruins come to their senses and get a deal done. We'll get to that next. Back here at WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcan, Andy Hart on a Patriots Monday live from Gillette, and we're joined on the phone right now by the guy who threw that pass, Jacoby Brissett. It's brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. Jacoby, we got you?
Yep, I'm here.
All right, very good. Let's go ahead and start with that play right there. Obviously, it was very deflating when it got overturned. In real time, did you think it was a touchdown?
Oh, of course. You know, thought he got two in from my view. Asked him when he got to the huddle, he said he got two in, and no, obviously got clarification on the rule. But that was a tough one.
Yeah, certainly a tough one for everyone watching, too. It seemed like you guys had put a great drive together there. You had some trouble moving the ball in the first half. It seemed like on that drive in particular, you were starting to really connect. What was sort of changing as the game went on as far as that's concerned?
I think our execution just got better. The game got going. Obviously, we got to come out with that style and that mentality of execution right there from the start. But I definitely thought our execution just got better.
In terms of execution, what ended up being the final play of the game, the throw to Hunter, what was supposed to happen there? Is that just unfortunate? Did you think he had room for run after the catch? Just sort of take us through how that ended.
Just an unfortunate end. And then we tried to throw it to the play was for somebody else underneath, and then the safety just drove it and obviously just had no other really options to go to, I think. And you know, it's the last play, so just trying to give a ball up and see what happens, you know, at the end of the game.
When you saw Henry down there, and you know, I think there was Douglas cutting across, you cut out a little bit there, but you said one of the safeties was pressing on him.
Yeah, I mean, the safety that's on that was hoping to get to stay back with Hunter. You know, he was driving on Douglas, so it's a matter of not getting a chance to catch the ball or you know, at least giving another guy a chance to make a play.
Jacoby, I know you don't appreciate this topic or these questions, but Gerard Mayo said this morning that your performance wasn't good enough. Do you expect to start this week, or do you have some question as to your status?
Nope, I don't have any questions on that.
Okay.
So you expect to start,
just to clarify
real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. Over the course of the game, it seemed like the run game was really connecting. Were you surprised that you were asked to throw as much as you were?
No, I mean, it was just a matter of, you know, we can't run the ball every play, you know, so trying to mix it in and stay, you know, balanced as far as running pass and trying to get things going down the field and give guys opportunities.
How much input do you have in terms of the offense with Alex Van Pelt, whether it be during the game or during the week in terms of game planning?
You mean as far as like are the plays do I like or something like that?
Yeah, things that you like, things that are maybe evolving or you guys are doing well. Do you have those discussions?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, you know, and it's certain situations. Some plays we can't get to just because of the situation and the time in the game. But, you know, I think that's a part of the growth of this offense and the communication as far as getting better. And yeah, we have those conversations of things that I like and I don't like. But, you know, and it's trying to expand upon those things and get better at that.
On the topic of getting better, because Coach Mayo has been saying that a lot, too. The season's about sort of, you know, looking at the film and trying to improve and getting better. Do you feel like you're getting better, and do you feel like the offense is getting better?
Yeah, I think it's bright spots. I mean, I know you guys don't know the details of the plays and things like that, so it's kind of hard for the outside to see them when you don't get the results that you want. But, you know, we're a couple plays, a couple, you know, I guess technique fundamentals or, you know, assignment things away from a lot of these plays turning out on the other side and us coming out on the other side of these games. So, when you turn on the film, you will to string along some of these plays. Just a matter of time of us till those plays start happening. You know, there's no crystal ball or things to tell you when they're going to hit. But it's just a matter of just finding ways to get better so that in those critical moments that when we need them to hit, they do.
Along those lines, you were behind your fifth different offensive line in five games. From the outside, it looked like maybe the guys did a pretty good job up front for portions of this game. You certainly were able to run the ball. Didn't seem like you were sacked quite as much. Do you feel like maybe there's some strides being made there with the offensive line, the guys in front of you?
Yeah, and that's getting consistent guys out there is the first step, and for those guys to build that trust and camaraderie with each other, and hopefully that's a step in the right direction.
We're talking with Jacoby Brissett, quarterback of the New England Patriots. Jacoby, last week, right here in this room that we're sitting in right now, as a matter of fact, it wasn't us, but another show, said that there was a mutiny or that the locker room was on the verge of a mutiny. Talked about guys sort of being upset with each other and general frustrations after that last loss. In terms of a mutiny, it didn't seem like you guys were throwing a mutiny against anybody there yesterday, but was it maybe, you know, in the locker room, is that frustration starting to take on a different form maybe that someone who's not super familiar might look at and think, oh boy, this is worse than it looks?
No, that's just terrible reporting.
Okay. So would you call it just normal frustration after a tough game?
Terrible reporting on somebody that has no idea what they're talking about.
Okay.
What is the mindset or mentality of the locker room of this team right now? You're 1-4. You can't run from that. The record is what it is, but where do you feel like you guys are emotionally and mentally right now?
You know, obviously I was coming off another tough loss, but, you know, we're getting into the thick of the season, obviously in the second quarter of this season. Played one game and got another big game coming up this week. You know, the mindset is to continue to get better. Like I said, you know, it's only a matter of time for the ball to roll in our favor. I mean, it's the good thing around, you look around the league, is not a lot of teams that's, you know, pulling away. You know, there's still a lot of season left in this thing, and you know, and it's really just all about us, and that's what our focus is really on, us and continuing to get better each and every week and putting our best foot forward on Sunday for us to come out with some wins.
Along those lines, in terms of getting better, certainly yesterday was a sloppy football game for both teams, penalties, mistakes. And at one point regarding penalties and being undisciplined, Mark Sanchez alluded to the fact that he thought when he visited practice on Friday that he saw some signs of that. I'm just wondering, have you seen signs of the sloppiness and the penalties and the problems in practice, and are they jumping from the practice field to the game field?
No, I don't watch the TV copies, but I don't know what he would be referring to. So I don't know how someone would come up with that assumption, which I've had a meeting with him afterwards. He never said anything about that, so I don't know what would have struck that comment from him.
Okay. With a play like that play at the end of the game with Polk, that's a young receiver right there, someone that everyone's trying to bring along. There's a lot of rookies on the offense that you're working with. As a, sort of a senior player on the team, how do you go about picking a guy up after a tough play like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think he just got to take it as a learning experience. I mean, obviously he'll get better from it. You know, he understands the margin of that this league is so slim and the – you know, the game of inches that we play in, and I'm sure he'll get another opportunity at that, and hopefully, you know what I mean, and you know, everybody's expecting him to make that play, and, you know, you can't be down on him. He gave himself a chance, so Now it's just about, like I said, it's like you see the strides of us getting better. Now it's about, you know, in those critical moments, just, you know, focusing a little bit more and attention to detail a little bit more, and I'm sure he's going to make that play.
You mentioned that you obviously have a working relationship with Alex Van Pelt. You guys even have a history together. He is running an offense, you know, sort of solo for the first time this year. How have you seen him, I guess, maybe evolve as the season has gone on with that goal of his job and your offense getting better?
Yeah, I think, you know, understanding our personnel that we're working through and trying to find ways for us to be put into better situations. I think he's doing a good job at it. I mean, like I say, like, people don't understand the details of plays, of how close we are on some of these plays. And I know that's a cliche that not a lot of people want to hear, but, you know, it's just finding ways for us to focus and, you know, I mean, and in those tough situations and make those plays. I think that's the mindset. You know, I mean, I think he's doing a good job of, when we go back and watch the film, and explaining the details and showing us in those critical moments how, you know, how locked in and how focused we need to be. And, you know, I think he's doing a good job of that.
During training camp, Gerard Mayo called Alex the head coach of the offense. He kind of clarified that this morning and talked about how Coach Mayo is involved with the offense, kind of splits his time. How much input do you get from Coach Mayo? What's his imprint on what you do as a quarterback and what this offense does week to week?
Yeah, I mean, he's the head coach of the football team at the end of the day. You know, I mean, he has takes over offense, defense, and special teams.
With the end of the first half, it seems like this has been a bit of a pattern with you guys. Questionable clock management. What sort of went into the decisions to run the plays and sort of try and, well, not take time off, I guess, the way you guys did at the end of the first half here? And is that something that you've emphasized during the week?
Yeah, it's something that we obviously emphasize and we're working on and trying to get better at. And you know, and have those conversations in a room like we did today, and trying to, you know, really, you know, understand the situation a little bit better and do better at those situations.
Without giving away any state secrets here, obviously, how was today? Guys upbeat? Was it sort of another, you know, another tough loss, or guys sort of down in the dumps here? How's that all going?
Yeah, another tough loss, but, you know, we go back and watch the film and you know, you see the good, the bad, and you see how close we are on some of our bad plays. And I guess that's the most encouraging part, because guys are able to see, you know, how close we are from winning this game by 3 touchdowns or 4 touchdowns. But then you look at it, and when you watch the bad plays, you understand why we lose, you know. So I think that's the part where we're at, where it's the growth and the learning process right now, to where I know Gerard always harps on, you know, progress, payoff, and those things, and we're just in the process of progress right now and trying to find ways to get better. And I think, you know, going through the film and watching it and guys understanding the details a little bit more and tightening the screws and to go forward.
From that standpoint, you mentioned earlier the offensive line maybe being able to keep the same group of guys out there. You got Kendrick Bourne back at receiver. Even that drive late to the Polk would-be touchdown, it was like to DeMario Douglas, to Polk. Do you feel a little bit of momentum there? Even maybe the numbers don't show it or the win-loss record show it. Do you feel a little bit of momentum there?
Been involved, you know, it's another group that, you know, hopefully you see more consistency as far as the guys out there, you know what I mean? You know, and we still got to do a better job of getting more guys involved. I got to do a better job of getting more guys involved and you know, just continue to get better.
All right, quarterback question of the week brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. John and Meredith asks, Jacoby, which quarterback is your favorite one to watch in the NFL?
I think I'm just a fan of the position, so I can't really point out one. I think I just love watching, you know, good quarterback play and just watching guys week in and week out play at his position and trying to learn something from them. And because, yeah, I'm a fan of football, so I like to watch them all.
Okay. Do you get wowed by, like, deep balls or accurate throws, or do you get more, like, into the technical when you see guys changing the plays? Like, when you're watching the position as a fan on TV, what kind of gets you all hot and going?
I wouldn't say any man doing anything gets me high and going, but it's just more of like.
Yeah, that was weird. I admit it. I admit it was a weird way to. I admit that was a weird way to ask that. Yeah. You got me.
All right. Well, on that note, we'll leave
I just
you.
Think I'm just a fan of the game.
All right. We'll leave it right there then. Jacoby Brissett, thanks so much for the time today, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks,
right.
Jacoby.
That's Jacoby Brissett on a pretty clear cell phone for part of it, anyway.
For most of it, there's a couple breakups.
Dropped out a little bit, but better otherwise than, he sounded better than Jonathan Jones.
Better than Jonathan Jones' phone.
Who, by the way, Jonathan Jones will call as soon as he gets out of a meeting, I'm hearing. So that might be pretty soon. Let's go ahead and take a break. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. If you'd like to jump in line, respond to anything you heard there from Jacoby Brissett, Jonathan Jones will join us soon here on a Patriots Monday, WEEI.